Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller recording on Wednesday, the 9th of June, at a very early for me, 3:39 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, the first thing I should mention, and I'm sure you're all going to be aware of this, is that these are very choppy, nervous, whipsaw markets. And it's not just stock markets. We're seeing similar action in really most other markets. It's the norm rather than the exception. And that's because most investors and traders are fairly undecided. So they feel a little bit bullish one day and a little bit bearish the next. And in this type of environment, it is very difficult, as I've said before, to make money at an acceptable risk-reward ratio. And I think in this type of environment, the smarter thing to do is, and I've said this before, particularly for those who are not very interested in trading, is to stand on the sidelines, get out of the fray, because it's easier to lose money than make money in this environment. And I haven't been quite smart enough to follow my own advice in this. And one's own portfolio and results are really a fairly good, assuming one remains on a reasonably even keel and hasn't become obsessive about anything and is willing to go long or short as the technical evidence dictates. One's own results can be a fairly good indicator of what market conditions are like if we don't already know what market conditions are like, which indeed we do. But the point is that when it's very easy to make money, when we're able to pick off trends and leverage positions up and so on and make quite big profits, and that was the case for much of last year and certainly the beginning of this year, especially in terms of the beginning of this year with the supply and elasticity trades, one tends to bat above one's long-term average. Not because we've suddenly discovered new systems or metamorphosed into smarter beings and more disciplined traders. That tends to occur, if it occurs at all, on a gradualist basis. In other words, how can I do what I do a little bit better this year than I've done previous years, type of incremental progress. So when the performance is really very good, and to say we're batting above our long-term historic average, that is really telling us that we have the luck of the big trends, the big consistent trends, and those are the prime times for making money. Conversely, when one sees a bit more red than one is accustomed to on the statements of open positions that come through, and the profits tend to be smaller, and one is frequently surprised, and there's a much higher risk of whipsaw, then that's telling us that, well, rather than having a crisis of confidence over that, the message ought to be, look, this is a dangerous environment here, and we really should be doing less at this particular time. And this is very much one of those phases when we should be doing less at this particular time. Now, what's going on in here today? Well, mixed performance in Asia. Most of the indices, though, just a little bit softer in here today, but not excessively so. But the key thing about Asia is that it has lagged. These Asian Pacific markets have definitely lagged, and that's not a good lead indicator, in my view, as far as bulls are concerned. In other words, well, you've seen my big piece, perhaps, on the comment of the day, and where I've put up, people requested them, and I've delivered here today, better late than never, but I believe there are 18 point and figure charts up on the site today of stock market indices. And I wanted to show those so people could look at these markets in perspective, see the whole picture from the top areas that we saw back in 2000 and beyond on down to the base formations such as they were and the recoveries to date, including the more recent data. So these are not trading charts, but they show us the trending activity and the main major reversals really quite clearly. And to me, the fact that Asia, despite various rationalizations, and I'm not too keen in making the rationalizations, the fact that the Asian markets, which led on the way up, are leading on the way down, or certainly way underperforming the European and North American indices, to me is a bear point for global stock markets. But what we would need to see in terms of the Western stock market indices is some sort of clear downward dynamic, or just a settle for a loss of momentum, a clear loss of momentum, to indicate that this rally has run out of steam. In the very short term, it is overbought, and it's overbought, and it's up in an area of overhead resistance, and therefore I think this is a dangerous time for investors. When I look around the few positions that I still have in equities, well, my Asian positions aren't doing well enough for me to be tempted to pull any of those out, especially since they are hedged, albeit asymmetrically, with a few short positions that I have in stock market futures. And then some of my high yielders are actually doing quite well. I mean, one of them, and this is not a suggestion that anybody should buy this in here at this stage, but Fenner PLC, that's FENR, London quoted small company that makes it has a global business that makes conveyor belts, boring industry, but it has a yield of over 5.5%, and that's just been ranging very steadily, a strong relative performer, which is why I've held onto it. And in the last couple of days, it's moved up quite sharply. That's something I bought a number of months ago, as did some subscribers who tend to shadow some of my positions. But the implications of that are, and not surprisingly, that if one has equities in here, the ones to hold in this nervous, choppy whipsaw environment are those that are very high yielders, particularly if there's a bit of confidence that those yields will be maintained. Okay, moving on to bonds. Now, they're softer in here today, and I feared that I might be taking out, you remember my JGB short that I covered, albeit at a good short-term profit, but it would have been a better profit certainly if I'd held on for a few more days, because as JGBs have continued to weaken, and U.S. Treasuries a little softer in here today, as are the Euro bunds. Now, certainly, if we get these government bonds weakening further, that will be increasing the headwind for global stock markets, which has not been the case all that much in recent weeks. Now, I'm currently, as I say, out of my short positions, both in the JGBs and U.S. Treasuries, and feeling a little bit naked, as I've described that before, because I really do think this is a very bearish market, and I would like to get on board there. But I'm not going to chase it down, particularly in this market environment, because both those bonds are still in an overall top formation extension phase. So I'd really like to see a rally, and I may or may not get that, of course, to tempt me in to start shorting again on a baby steps basis. That's been quite profitable over the last few months, although I haven't done it. I haven't built up really big positions there, as you know. And I'm looking to short stock market futures again, but I'm going to be conservative here and wait for some sort of technical signal and to justify that. Other than a short-term overbought condition, I'd like to see some sort of downward dynamic, which could occur any day. Now, in currency markets, this is the big action in here, and this one does surprise me, is that the euro is very, very soft today. Now, okay, the euro had rallied. It seemed quite a decent recovery. But then, as Japan's economic data has impressed on the upside recently, the yen has taken over the running, having gone through a weak phase. Remember, I had that euro yen a while back and ran that right up to, say, 136 and a half, went a little higher for starting to come off. But it's the, not to digress, it's the euro that's weak here today. It's down, and this is a dynamic on the chart. It's down 1.65 cents against the US dollar to 121.04. So it's not maintained that last upward break. It's very much range bound overall, but that move will certainly raise a few eyebrows. And I'm really glad I don't have any positions in here, with one exception. I should have. I talked about that dollar yen running into resistance or approaching some very obvious resistance up near the 115. I've said from time to time that if I had any position, it really ought to be short the US dollar against the yen. But I'm not going to chase that here at 109.27. So nothing's really beckoning to me, and that would be maybe the best of an indifferent lot here in the currency markets. I can resist that. Because the euro is weaker in here today, and the dollar is a bit stronger against all but the yen, that has taken its toll of the supply and elasticity trades. Your gold, 386, that's the least of the supply and elasticity metals, but you understand the point on this. Palladium is weaker in here as well. Now, I did buy more palladium here today. Again, this is on a baby steps, although I sort of did a bubble double baby steps purchase in here today. I did that shortly after I put up the comment of the day, which is why it's not listed there, but I paid 224.3. The 0.3 is my spread bet cost. And did that just a short while ago. It's currently at 221.50 here, and palladium's fallen quite sharply today, so it could easily go a bit lower, but it is falling back into its quite substantial base formation. And this, to me, in technical analysis or chart, well, technical chart jargon from the chart seminar, looks like a type 3 base. In other words, one of those big, slowly ranging patterns, and it's getting an extension to that pattern. In other words, palladium's fallen back into that base, which suggests to me that it's going to range for a while longer. But as I did before, my strategy was to pick it up on easing, and my purchase today, I was making $100 below and nearly a third below the price at which I sold my entire palladium position a few months ago. Okay, what else to mention here? Among the industrial metals, they're not doing as badly as they might in here today. Mind you, if we get the euro continuing to weaken and the dollar rallying, then they'll get tagged a bit, but tin's down $50 on the 3 o'clock. I'm trading at 9,300. That's not too bad. Lead's down a little bit to $9, but the 8.24. But I notice the backwardation's picked up just a little bit. So minor declines in most of those. And the oil price that has continued to weaken, and now it's getting quite oversold in the short term, and people are confidently forecasting $30. Well, some are at any rate. I've seen that level mentioned a number of times. People saying that crude oil, NYME, that is not the Brent, which is currently at 36.90. It has been down as low as 36.45, and people I've seen a number of people confidently forecast that this could soon be at $30. Well, to me, nothing's impossible, obviously, but to me, there's probably more than a bit of wishful thinking in that. That would be a good script for stock markets were it to occur. But it's getting really quite oversold in here, but needless to say, needs an upward dynamic to indicate the potential for a rally back up into the small top area that formed. As you know, we had that key day reversal last week, and it's just been falling in consecutive days ever since then. The key day reversal was exactly a week ago. Okay, I think that's pretty much it, except to close where I started, just to repeat that this is a nervous, tricky, and dangerous market environment overall. I don't see anything out there that I feel that I can predict with real confidence in terms of a reliable, reasonably low-risk trade or investment at this moment in time. Now, hopefully that's a realistic assessment. I obviously believe it is, or I wouldn't have said it. And the challenge, of course, is always to see what's actually there in the markets, not what we think we're going to see or not what we want to see. And I don't like what I see too much, and it's not a bad idea, again, as I say, to maintain a low profile against that background. All the best.